Welcome back to The Download here on 720 WGN. I'm Justin Kaufman. Well, the new film First Reformed is out in select theaters coming up on May 25th. The film stars Ethan Hawke, Cedric the Entertainer, and Amanda Seyfried, and centers around a fascinating story about the church, activism, and climate change. What does God think of what we're doing to the planet? The film is written and directed by longtime filmmaker Paul Schrader. Schrader's most known for writing Martin Scorsese films like Taxi Driver, Raging Bull, and The Last Temptation of Christ. But that's just a sliver of the work that Schrader has done in Hollywood. He's directed many of his own films, including American Gigolo with Richard Gere, among several others. Schrader has either directed or written 30-plus films in his career. His latest, First Reformed, hits select theaters on May 25th, and it's my pleasure to welcome filmmaker Paul Schrader to The Download tonight. Mr. Schrader, thanks for being here.
Thank you, Justin.
I love this film, and I have a question in your bio. It talks about Calvin College. You studied theology. Talk about this film, why you made this film, and what it has to do with religion and activism.
Well, I was in the product of the Christian Reformed Church, Westside Christian, Grand Rapids Christian High, Calvin College. And, you know, movies were sort of the forbidden fruit. I didn't see them when I was younger. Yeah. So I came to movies as an adult, as a college student. And the first movies I was drawn to was the intellectual European cinema of the 60s, Bergman, Antonioni, and so forth. So that was kind of the door I walked in. And then I wrote a book about a theological aesthetics about some of those filmmakers. But I never thought that I would actually work in that style. Once I crossed over into filmmaking, I was just too intoxicated with action and empathy and sex and violence to worry much about doing something on the aesthetic or the spiritual side. And that was pretty well it till about 3 years ago when I was talking with a director who had done this film, Ida, and we started talking about spiritual films. And it suddenly occurred to me on the walk home, I says, you know, it's time now. Mm-hmm. All your life you say, I'll never write that movie. Well, it's time to write it now.
It has a lot of similarities to your more recognizable work, whether it be Taxi Driver, Raging Bull, down the line. But it has this man-in-room philosophy, this concept of the main character, Ethan Hawke, who is writing in his diary, he's sitting down, he has a place, he's a man in a room, he goes and does stuff, and he comes back to the room. Why shoot it this way?
When in 1969, I saw Pickpocket when I was a critic for the L.A. Free Press, and I was knocked out by this movie. I just didn't know movies could act in that way and it could lift your soul that way. And that was the man in the room. So the first script I wrote 2 years later was Taxi Driver, and that man was lonely. And he was a taxi driver. Then the next time he showed up, he was narcissistic and he was a gigolo. Then he showed up again and he was a drug dealer and he was anxious. Mm-hmm. Then he showed up again. He was a society walker and he was superficial. And now he's shown up again, and he's a reverend, and he's in despair.
As a writer, as a filmmaker, do you see the same character just floating through the movies that you do?
Well, you can't write about him every year. I mean, you can't do a Woody Allen. But as your life progresses, every decade or so, you find yourself circling back around that sort of character. It's not a necessary progression, mm-hmm. you know, but it's just, you know, where am I in my life now in terms of that character? I certainly am not where I was, you know, when I did Taxi Driver.
And to think that, like I said, 35 plus movies that you've done in your career, how important is it for the film to be autobiographical as a writer to have elements of who you are as a person?
They will always be there. For my part, I wrote one film that was sort of about my father and one film that was sort of about my mother, and I think they're two of the weakest films I've done.
Really?
I think the stronger ones that are a little further away from me, that are more metaphorical. You know, I was never a taxi driver. I was never a drug dealer. And those, in fact, are stronger. And I think I was just a little too close to the stove when I did the films about my parents.
And it really does. It makes me curious in knowing that you have a background in religion and knowing as well how you write to the man in the room and as we just talked about, kind of being the same character. Where do you see this film when it comes to your life and who you are? Is there a strong pull for you to think about both the idea of what you're supposed to be as a priest and also what activism and belief and passion drive
you
to?
Well, I mean, there's a definite end of times feeling to this film. an eschatology of sorts. And we are living in dire times. There's a good possibility that our species will not see out this century. So that does make you think. You know, for 10,000 years, human beings have been having this discussion, but it was always hypothetical. Why are we here? Where are we going? Etc. And then I would have that discussion, and I would die, and my son would have it, and his son would have it. Well, maybe we're starting to look at the last few generations of people who are even going to have that discussion.
Right.
That lends a kind of weight and heaviness and gravitas to what had been for so many years a dorm school reverie.
It's great because the main character played by Ethan Hawke is called to counsel one of his parishioners, and he's an environmental activist, and his big question to the priest in this scenario is, how can I bring, he's expecting, and how can I bring a child into this world when we know that it's about to die? And what I love about the film is that the priest doesn't shun that, doesn't necessarily say, oh, please, you know, double down. He can't answer the question, and it eats at him.
Yeah, well, I mean, the very fact that young people would be having this question in times of plenty, you can understand it in times of starvation. But we are living in times of plenty, and now we're worried about bringing children into the world who are going to suffer because of our greed, suffer terribly. Mm-hmm. The very fact that you can have this discussion is chilling. And I've never had it, but I know my kids have it.
And your characters are as well. Paul Schrader, my guest tonight, the filmmaker behind First Reformed, starring Ethan Hawke, Cedric the Entertainer, and Amanda Seyfried, which is out in theaters on the 25th. A longtime filmmaker, also the writer of Taxi Driver, Raging Bull, Last Temptation of Christ. The list goes on and on and on. Paul Schrader, my guest tonight at the big table. Stay with us. Welcome back to The Download, 720 WGN. I'm Justin Coffin. My guest in studio, filmmaker and writer, he's done so many different things in his career. Paul Schrader, his new film, First Reformed, is out in select theaters coming up on the 25th. It stars Ethan Hawke, Cedric the Entertainer, Amanda Seyfried. The credits, and I know that I wonder how you feel about, I keep continually throw back to the Taxi Drivers, the Raging Bulls, to The Last Temptation of Christ, the movies that you did with Martin Scorsese. Do you feel like that is something that you want in the lead and that you want to discuss, or is that something you're like, all right, time to move on?
Yeah, well, a little bit of both. I always said that no matter, to Marty, I said no matter what we do, we're always going to get, the obit's going to read, you know, The Maker of Taxi Driver. I was speaking with Nick Cage, and after he saw First Reformed, and he said, well, I hope they change that obituary to Taxi Driver and First Reformed.
Well, there is something to be said, because you have, in that article, in that discussion you had with Nick Cage in Interview Magazine, you talk about this being your masterpiece. How so?
Well, it just brings so many things together. 50 years ago, I realized I might want to become a screenwriter, and I realized I wanted to write a book about spiritual cinema. And now, 50 years later, those two threads have come back together. So there is a sense of completion. Mm-hmm. You know, in the Ride the High Country, the Sam Peckinpah film, Joel McRae, somebody asked him what he wants, and he said, all I want to do is enter my house justified. And so after this one, I sort of feel that I can enter my house justified.
The characters that you've created, and just mentioning a couple of the films, they're iconic because of the characters. The scripts are amazing, and they always are, but when you talk about Taxi Driver, the reason that it resonates and continues for years after years is the internal and external struggle of the main character, played by Robert De Niro in that film. You know, when you think about that, and I think about the characters that you're creating, is that how you forge? Is that how you create a film? You think about the character first?
It goes problem, metaphor. And the metaphor is usually a character. So if the problem is loneliness, the metaphor is a taxi driver. If the problem is inability to express love, the character is the gigolo. You know, if the problem is despair, the character is a military chaplain. Mm-hmm. So then you start evolving a plot. But if the metaphor is nice and strong, the plot just becomes certain things that happen. Mm-hmm. It's not plot driven. It's just the plot makes the metaphor richer and richer.
What is it about the concept of despair that makes great characters? Because you mentioned despair with the military chaplain, Ethan Hawke, in this film. But there is something great about the dark, the loner, the character who wants to do right by this poisoned world, but in a way becomes part of the problem.
Yeah, well, the sickness unto death, as Kierkegaard called it. I mean, we all have good cause for despair. And he says in the course of that film that, you know, life is hope and despair, and you can't have one without the other. And you have to choose hope, otherwise you have despair. And so you can choose hope even if you don't have hope. Just like Camus once said, I choose to believe, I don't believe.
Yeah. Reading your story, and you talk about what was happening to you in your life as you were, before you wrote Taxi Driver, before you decided to even get into films, you were, you know, cast away a lot of your friendships and your family, and were living down and out and dealing with health issues. Is a lot of the despair and how you see despair come from your own life?
No. I actually think that I'm relatively easygoing. And I don't think that it is, you know, just because you don't have hope doesn't mean you're in agony either. But this is getting to be very thick and dark and murky water here.
I apologize for that. That's what we do here at the big table. The one quote that Nicolas Cage pulled out in the Interview magazine piece, and he said that you gave him this advice when he was younger, was the idea of that characters that raise more questions than answers have a longer shelf life. And I think of a lot of the characters that are in your films and ones that you've written, and this one fits the bill as well, Ethan Hawke's character, that there is this idea that they don't have to have all the answers, that actually presenting more questions at the end of the film is better for the audience.
Yeah, well, contradiction is the essence of character. You know, I loved her so much, I hit her. And she loved me so much, she hit me back. That we do contradictory things. We do things against our own best interests, and we don't know why. And so when characters do that, it helps us sort of relate our own behavior. You know, so when the Travis Bickle says, I do not believe that one should devote his life to morbid self-attention, well, that's all he is doing. He devoted his whole life to morbid self-attention. But, you know, he says he isn't doing it.
Yeah, right.
And it's just the same thing like with freedom. Why do we talk about freedom so much? Because we're trying to justify the fact that we crave chains. And, you know, we have a desire to be chained. We don't really want freedom. But how do we explain this? Well, we say we want freedom.
Do you have to resist the urge as a screenwriter, as an artist, to answer all the questions? I mean, is there an urge to say this has to make sense or it won't make sense to the audience?
No, it has to be the other way. It has to be a certain room for mystery. You know, at a certain point, I don't know why he does this. I don't know why she says this. But I know she does. I know she opens her mouth and these words come out. And that's that. Mm-hmm. And when you allow room for things you don't fully understand, you're doing what you're supposed to be doing. You know, I've often compared a critic and an artist to a medical examiner and a pregnant woman. The critic wants to get that body on the table, wants to cut it open and find out how it lived and died. That pregnant woman only wants to nourish that thing inside her and hopes it comes out alive. So if you let the critic into the birthing room, he will kill that baby.
The inner critic of whether or not you think audiences are going to like this part, if this makes sense, are they going to get this? Yeah. All that kind of stuff that goes through a writer's head.
Yeah.
So interesting. Paul Schrader, my guest, a filmmaker. His film, First Reformed, is out in select theaters coming up on the 25th. It stars Ethan Hawke, Cedric the Entertainer, Amanda Seyfried. A fascinating story from a fascinating writer and director, longtime writer and director of films like Taxi Driver, Raging Bull, Last Temptation of Christ, also his own film American Gigolo with Richard Gere. I mean, we can go down the line, the films that you've done. Paul Schrader in studio tonight at the big table. We'll take a break for the news and come back. Stay with us. Welcome back to The Download, 720 WGN. I'm Justin Kaufman. My guest at the big table tonight, the filmmaker behind First Reformed, the new film that's out starring Ethan Hawke and others, Paul Schrader. Paul Schrader is in studio right now. The film First Reformed comes out on the 25th of May. Amazing to talk with you about the art of screenwriting, about character development, about religion, everything we've been talking about tonight. You have lived a life in Hollywood. It's amazing to think about the early days that we continue to mention, being almost a screenwriter exclusively for the early Martin Scorsese stuff, to taking on your own films, to writing huge films to having films that were passion plays to crowdfunding. You've done a lot in Hollywood. When you look back on your career, is it exactly how you thought it was going to go?
Yeah, I mean, I was very fortunate. I got lucky. And, you know, there's always part of you that says, I wish I could start all over. And then you think, well, gee, if I start all over, maybe I won't get so lucky. I know I have had a very fortunate career. And, of course, I've also lived in the sweet spot of human history, the post-war baby boom, the least war, the most leisure time, the best medicine, the best standard of living. And my generation sucked all this up and then left nothing for their progeny.
That's a big theme in the film First Reform, just to, as you tackle this concept that we are getting closer and closer to our demise as a human species and how humans are handling that huge question, especially people who are in the church and people who are spiritual. Is that something that's on your mind? Is that something that as a filmmaker and as a screenwriter that you're thinking about, that the end of days are near?
Not the end of days, the end of Homo sapiens. First of all, the Earth is just fine. Totally nuke out the Earth in 50,000 years, it'll be great. You know, it'll be free of the virus called Homo sapiens. So it's just, you know, our ability to save ourselves. And I think we've taken the vote. I think the vote is in.
Yeah. I think about all the other films that you've done, and you know, we could spend the next 20 minutes just talking about the late 70s. I was watching the Spielberg documentary that was on HBO not too long ago. And
I'm in there.
Yeah, right. But just this considerable amount of fanfare given to Hollywood in the late 70s with the Brat Pack.
I'll tell you what it was. The movies weren't necessarily better, and the filmmakers weren't necessarily more intelligent. The audiences were better. And the audiences took movies seriously. And when audiences turn to artists with serious questions, they will get great art. It just works that way. Today, audiences don't take movies very seriously, and it's much harder to make a serious movie. But back then, when we were dealing with these multiple crises of the sexual revolution, the gay revolution, the drug revolution, the military, you know, women's liberation, people wanted the movies to tell them, you know, what should we be thinking about this? And so when you have great audiences, you have great art.
It's also collaborative to look at that space and see all the great artists that were going to each other to talk about their work and to talk about what they might produce or what being on each other's set. It seems to be something different than what you see today. Do you see it that way?
It was a smaller town, you know. In the late 60s, 70s, you know, there were maybe 10,000-15,000 people hustling. Now they're, you know, 200,000, 500,000, you know. Mm-hmm. So the sense of community is gone.
And I think about this because I ask this question a lot, just this idea of even to be someone of your stature, Paul Schrader, with films that you've written that are part of the world, you know, the history of film, Taxi Driver and the like. There still is this idea that as you talk about just sheer numbers or 15,000 hustlers in the late 70s, it's turned into millions of people trying to get the same thing that you have, yeah. That there is a fair amount of rejection and there still is a fair amount of hustle that has to happen, even for someone accomplished in his 70s that has a body of work that should speak for itself.
Yeah, but also we have this explosion of media. So there are maybe 10 or so independent films a year that get their head above the crowd that people notice. Out of how many? Maybe 15,000, 20,000?
Crazy.
So the democratization of filmmaking has made it possible for anybody to make a film and virtually impossible for anybody to make money.
That's the problem, right?
It's a nasty trade-off.
Yeah, right? As a writer, as someone who has really refined his craft and written screenplays that have actually transcended the film that they've actually been attached to, do you see Hollywood being a better place for writers? Do you see with all of the opportunities that are there for different media and for different collaborations that the writer's job is easier in 2018 than, say, it was in 1977?
Well, certainly long form. Long form lends itself to writer's strength as opposed to a director's strength. And so you get, you know, this great writing in long form episodic TV. On the other hand, the center of the old theatrical market has fallen out. The center didn't hold. So those middle budget films that dealt with social issues are virtually gone. Mm-hmm. And they have now migrated over to television, which is not quite as free as you think it is. And in fact, this film, First Reformed, was turned down by both Amazon and Netflix, both at the script stage and at the finish stage. So it's not like they are indiscriminately picking up things, because sometimes it seems like that when you look through the catalog of things.
But they're just another Hollywood studio.
Yeah, well, they are the Hollywood studio. I mean, the old studios are virtually gone now.
I think about having this opportunity to talk with you because I remember being a kid who was 10 years old, 12 years old, watching some of your films going, oh, my God, there is a world out there, right? I think of not just Taxi Driver, but even what was the film, The Cat People? Scared the bejesus out of me in the way of, like, what is happening? Like, what is I'm 10, 12 years old watching this on TV. And I think about all the films that you've done and all the films that have had impact on people, and think about Taxi Driver, Raging Bull are great examples of people who put that into posters, and they can put it on their wall and it'll tell people who they are. Do you think about that? Do you think about the indelible impact that you've had on American culture when it comes to some of the stuff that you've written and produced and shot and directed?
Well, I mean, what can you think about it? You know, sometimes you get lucky and you happen to become involved in something that becomes a milestone and a marker in cultural history. It's nothing you can really plan on, and you can't go back and say, oh, I should do another one of those, because you don't know how that one happened in the first place.
It's amazing to meet you, and the film First Reformed is out in theaters coming up on May 25th, a great film starring Ethan Hawke, Cedric the Entertainer, and Amanda Seyfried. It is Paul Schrader's masterpiece.
Thank you.
And Paul Schrader, the longtime filmmaker, in studio tonight, my guest at the big table. Paul, can't thank you enough. Thanks for being here.
Thank you, Justin.